This is Infidel One. Offending Coyote Down. Offending Coyote Down. Roger that.
Welcome to Trapping Radio. We're proud, organic, free-range, wild fur farmers of North America.
Let me tell you a little story about how I was raised. Every day work, every day pray. Got family, friends, yeah, everybody sins. A winner never quits, and a quitter never wins. Help folks in need, don't fall for greed. A jealous man is weak, so think before you speak. If you love them, let them know. If you hate, let it go. Fast can be fun, but sometimes you need slow. God is all good, the devil is so real. So listen up, y'all, cause this is how I feel. I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my trip till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above. I answer to no one.
Now let's cover our sponsors. They do a lot to help support Trapping Radio. So I'm asking you guys out there and gals to help support our sponsors as they keep Trapping Radio on the air. First sponsors, Oki Cable and Trap Supply. Jeb's the owner of this. He's out of Oklahoma. Super guy. You'll not meet anybody nicer. It's somebody you're going to want to deal with. You can reach him at oktrapsupply.com. You can give Jeb a call at 918-429-4648. Not only does he do Trap Supply guys, he's a fur buyer, so if you're around the Oklahoma or surrounding states, give him a call with your fur. When you need stuff, give him a call and he'll get it out to you as soon as he can. Our second sponsor is F&T Fur Harvesters Trading Post. Everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calling. Guys, if you're into trapping fur, hunting fur, chasing fur with dogs, you're not going to be able to think of hardly anything that you can't get from F&T. You can reach them at fntpost.com. You can also give them a call at 989-727-8727. Whatever you want, F&T's got. Wildlife Control Supplies, proven solutions for wildlife control, delivering value, expertise, and products to the wildlife individual. If you're in the ADC business, control business, even fur trapping, you need to look at these guys' website. Top-notch company. Have everything you would want, even the odd stuff that ADC guys are looking for. You can reach them at wildlifecontrolsupplies.com. You can give them a call at 877-684-7262. International number is 860-844-0101. If you're a wildlife control professional, you need to have Wildlife Control Supplies as one of your favorites on your computer or your phone, because when you come across something that you need specialized equipment, Alan will get it right out to you. Now let's go trapping.
See, I'm a flag flying, Bible toting son of a gun. Yeah, I'm hell on the heart, just a rebel on the run. Scared, don't know it, fear, don't feel it. The truth is the light, sometimes you gotta fight. Good beats bad, right beats wrong. I'm a barroom preacher and this is my song. I'm climbing for the top, representing for the country. I'm the people's champ, right out to deer camp. Shotgun toter, Republican voter. Hank Jr. supporter, let's protect our border. To hell with anyone who don't believe in the USA. Cause this is what I say. I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't.
Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome to Trapping Across America. My name is Chip Davis, and I will be sitting in with you tonight as guest host for Trapper Radio while Clint has his hands full. I think that Clint and his wife are closing today, matter of fact, on a new house, and they will soon be moving, and they are super excited about that. And Clint gave me a shout just a day or two ago and asked me, hey, can you cover the radio show for this weekend? And I said, well, sure, I would be honored to. And just because I love hanging out with you guys, the North American Trapper Men and women are some of my deepest and friends, and some of the people that I respect and look up to the very, very most. And so I appreciate you hanging out with us here for a little while. Hopefully we bring you a really cool show and can talk to you about some things trapping. It is the end of October as I record this, and I'm actually, a lot of times when Clint asks me to sit in for him, I'll try to record these 2 or 3 days ahead. But if you're listening to this soon after it airs, this is going to be real soon because I'm behind and I'm recording this, and I'm going to go straight to the computer and put it on the server and turn it on live. So no delays here. So this is as close to a live show, I think, as I've ever done. And so it's going to be completely impromptu and off the cuff. Because it is the end of October and it's trapping season. I've got some traps in the ground, got some snares hung, and we're going to talk about a little of that. Before we do, guys, you just heard our sponsor list that I like to play. It's the old sponsor list from the early days of Trapping Radio. Give these guys a shout. Every one of the names that you heard listed are super, super people. We could not do this show without the support of our sponsors. So show these guys a little love. If you enjoy what you hear on Trapping Radio, the hundreds and hundreds of episodes that are up, I think we're closing in on the number 400 mark. I'm not exactly sure how far away from that we are, but it'll be here before we know it. And that is probably close to 500 hours of basically free trapping instruction that you can get just by logging on to www.trappingradio2.com. And you can also access all of these archives, which are invaluable for the beginner trapper and even those of us that are crusty old trappers with a lot of gray hair anymore. And so it's the content here I'm so proud of. Clint does an awesome job on these episodes, and none of this could be possible without the support of these sponsors. The server cost and the cost to bringing this product to you guys is overwhelmingly. All we ask is, hey, for the folks that are supporting the show by their sponsorships, that's the only way that we raise any money at all to offset these sponsors. The cost of the show is through our sponsors. And so show these guys some support. If you need trapping supplies, if you need traps, if you need lure, you need bait, you need whatever, chain extensions, whatever it is, give these guys, you heard their names. Additionally, we've had two new sponsors that did not make that original list. And those two, I'll plug them real quick, is Alan over at Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. Alan also sponsors the Man Strong podcast that airs midweek each week. There's a new podcast, relatively new one, that Clint has been doing. Alan's a great guy. Just actually spent some time with him last weekend at Southeast Regional. And also Jeff Dunlap, the death dealer himself out of Michigan with Dunlap Lures. He has some absolutely great lures and baits. That's usually my go-to lure and bait after I lead off with Clint. So I usually start with predator control group stuff, especially on any new job. But if I come back for some coyote cleanup, or I come back in less than 12 months, then I like a little switch, and that's a really, really good one. He's famous for his Hellfire lure, and this stuff is skunky. Boy, I tell you what, it is loud. So if you cold weather guys, or even down south when it turns cold, if you need some LDC type lure with a lot of skunk in it, that's sure a good one, as well as many, many of Jeff's other fine products that he puts out. He's a super, super good guy, a friend of all of us on Trapper Radio. So give Alan and Jeff and the rest of the sponsors that you just heard a shot at your business this trapping season. We appreciate those guys, and without them, we could not be doing this show. So we're going to move right along into some trapping things. This is going to be a whole bunch of trapping in this show, and these are the ones that I like to do. Most places across the United States, if the trapping season is not open, it soon will be, literally in just a matter of a few days or a week or two at the most in some locations. So it is about to be going full swing. I know our business at Expandapan reflects that. We're so busy, it's hard to keep product on the shelves. We're making it as fast as we can and shipping it out just a little bit faster than that. So we appreciate your support too, for all you guys that support our business, and that has really, you can tell that it's trapping season because folks are rigging up their equipment and they are getting with it. You know, I live, many of you know, down the deep south where the coyote is on our nuisance list. We can trap those guys year round, and so that's what we've been doing. The weather has finally given us a break from the excruciating heat that we had all throughout the summertime, and I finally had a chance earlier this week to get some steel in the ground. I've had a super, super busy week, but and so that's kind of one of the things I wanted to lead off the show. I got several things that we can talk about. I don't have any notes. We're just going to kind of hang out and talk about some stuff and cruise through this thing. But I did said, I think this morning was the third check, but I only set late in the day on, I guess it was Tuesday, because I checked Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, and this morning. And lo and behold, I did not have anything Wednesday morning, only had just literally a handful of traps out, like four tops, but I didn't set until right at dark. So I had I guess you call that a zero if you only got four checks. I mean, it's not a whole lot of opportunity to catch an animal, but I did. And I had a coyote on Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, second check, had another coyote this morning. And what I wanted to talk about was not at all catch rate or catch success, but pups. That's kind of what I wanted to go into and dissect. What I do a little bit different. Now, I'm a coyote trapper, and so this is, so that you water guys out there or raccoon folks out there, guys and gals, y'all just bear with me a little bit because I love coyotes. I love trapping for coyotes and chasing them and learning, just because they're a little bit more difficult of an animal to trap. You kind of need to be on top of your game and be thinking, and that's what I so much like about any trapping. It's a thinking person's game. It's not necessarily reactive as much as it is proactive. If you don't make the effort, you're not going to catch that animal. Along those same lines, and a lot of this will be kind of geared toward our beginner guys out there, our beginner / intermediate folks that are really looking for coyotes and learn and trying to figure those out. If this was not the end of October, if this was the end of, say, January, when our coyotes in my particular region, it doesn't matter what region you're in, it just happens to be that during those months, typically the end of January through February, our coyotes are in the breeding stages. That's when the females will be coming in season and getting bred. You know, the newer coyotes will be pairing up, finding mates, and they become somewhat of a different type of animal. They get just incredibly difficult to catch, and they're no longer interested in food. Their curiosity is not at all turned on by fresh dirt or the things that we'll talk about that I key in on this time of the year, that you can catch a coyote's attention level while they're young, and especially the pups. But they're just extremely difficult to catch. Right now is the confidence builder for coyote trapping. I'm not saying that they're still a coyote. They just grow wings on over closer to that rut. Somehow or another, they can fly. I think they can get around you. They can do some crazy stuff a little later. But understand the life cycle of a coyote. That's what I want to. And especially let's look at these pups. So right now, if these coyotes were born, let's say May is probably a rough average, May to June, and in my part of the world, this is going to vary depending on where you live. The breeding cycle typically varies, you know, when the females come in season and get bred and all that. But May, June is kind of a good rough month there of when we typically feel like our coyote pups are born in the den. And for the first part of that life cycle, dad usually hunts, mom guards the den and raises the young. When you get on over to late summertime, the coyotes will kind of be led out of that den and they'll start exploring. They're extremely inquisitive about that time. And right now, we get a little bit past there, early fall. We're just getting some cool days now and, some chilly nights. And these coyote pups, that's what I want to talk about, they're not anywhere close to grown, but they're starting to gain their independence a little bit. Just think of a teenager. We actually just had this happen in our family that just gets their driver's license. They're still not mature, but as much, they may be mature physically, but they're not mature mentally enough to make some extremely rational decisions. But they are starting to branch out a little bit. They'll venture a little bit away from the den. They're starting to explore a brand new world. And they are not anywhere close to as phobic as an adult coyote will soon become. That level of concern and caution will grow exponentially from now through the first of the year where I'm at, and as we approach the rut and breeding season. It seems like each day these coyotes they learn more. There are things, spook them a little bit more, and I'm not talking about traps and trappers and that. I'm just talking about nature in general. They're learning to hunt. They are, they're just exploring a whole new world. And because of that, their guard is somewhat down, and that makes them a little bit more susceptible to what we do. So I particularly changed my strategy quite a bit this time of the year. This time of the year, do I ever catch adult coyotes? Yes, I do occasionally, but that's not who I'm really setting for. Right now, let's just say you had X amount of property, and you're thinking about this property in the back of your head right now. Say it's a 200-acre farm. You've got permission, or you own it, or whatever, and that's where that's where you want to trap. And that's where you're thinking. Let's look at this thing through the course of a 12-month year. Last spring, when season ended, there may have been two coyotes that were left on there. Let's just call it a breeding pair. And nobody's bouncing these coyotes. There's not a lot of equipment or a lot of machinery or different things like that in there to bounce them at periodically. And this is kind of their home range. And all of a sudden, mom has a litter, is expecting a litter of pups. And let's just say all of a sudden we go from a population of two coyotes on that home range to a population of five coyotes on that home range. I think it's pretty well documented that the typical litter size of these coyotes is, 4 to 6, probably. 5, 4.5, or 5 is probably closer to the average. So we just more than doubled our coyote population on that same acreage simply because of the life cycle of a coyote. Not all of these are going to make it every single time. You've got different diseases that come through. Some pups are just born a little more sickly than others, and some of them don't make it. But the point that I want to drive home is all of a sudden our population doubled on that particular property. Let's just say her litter was only 4 pups, and we started off with 2 adults. Now we got 2 pups, but there's something else that's in play here. Those pups are extremely inquisitive, and if you put a big flashy dirt hole in front of them, it's really hard for them to resist that. You think of this is really a poor example. I was starting to say, think of a 3-year-old and put a great big life-size teddy bear in front of them, and the little 4-year-old kid's typically going to run up there and play with it or push it over or hug it or tackle it or whatever. So it's kind of the same thing with the coyotes. They are extremely inquisitive at that age. There's a lot more of them out there, so your activity level and your visits are going to increase, and as a result, your catch rate is going to increase as well. Say that you tried to trap one of those adult coyotes last spring, and this coyote was 3-4 years old and mature, and he had smelled you. He realized who you were. He knows exactly your habits. I'm telling you, the coyotes are so smart. I honestly believe they identify who's trapping them. I fully believe that you know, that they identify us by our smell and our activity level as we go in and out. And if we get time, we'll even go into that whole thought process here in a few minutes. But that's the phobicness and the caution level of these adult coyotes. All that goes away this time of the year, and the percent catch rate, I think, right now becomes so much higher and so much greater that it's just a shame. If you want to learn coyotes, if you're not out there trapping, if your law will allow you this time of the year. I understand that there's seasons that a lot of guys have to abide by. Like I mentioned before, coyotes are a nuisance here. I also understand that some guys that strictly trap for fur need to wait until fur primes up. I will say this, a lot of places that pup fur is the most valuable. That's the most valuable of the whole entire lifespan of that coyote. But once it's primed, so I understand that there's some things that some guys need to wait for. But having said that, as soon as you can, before these coyotes get so afraid, right now is the time to really add some catches. Now, why is that important? For the beginner / intermediate level trappers out there, confidence is a huge, huge factor in maturing as a trapper. You can read all you want. You can watch all the DVDs you want. You can try hundreds and hundreds of different tactics and techniques. But until you walk up and that coyote is dancing in your trap, then it's all just kind of scholastic type knowledge. It becomes personal when you see that coyote jumping in your trap and the hair on the back of your neck stands up. And the more that you can repeat that, the more you will associate those positive lessons and what did I do on this particular set? What did I do different? Because you remember that. You just set the trap a few days ago. You remember that. And then you've got absolute success. And to the point that I think it really is worthy of mentioning, when that happens, there's literally endorphins released in your brain that basically justify that success or verify it. And it's something almost on the subconscious level, this chemical that, you know, when you see guys that are millionaires and they make the right deals after the right deals after the right deals, when they make the right deal, they subconsciously, because endorphins are released in their brain, it makes them feel good and they associate that with the success points. It's the same thing with our coyote trapping. When we see these catches and we see things kind of come together and all click, then we subconsciously and sometimes even consciously put together what worked and what did not work. And I just think that there are lessons that are real easily learned and adaptable that'll even help us at different coyote life cycles when they get harder to catch a little later on in a few months. But I think that when you see these, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with catching these pups. The pups are going to be equally as responsible for the predation on other wildlife, and every reason that we catch coyotes, it's just as important to take them out now as it is later on in their lifespan. But I do think that because they're easier to catch, it really, really helps guys that are kind of getting started in this game understand on a much different level because they're seeing actual real success. So we'll segue from there into a couple of things that I do different on my line as I'm targeting pups. The first thing is I'll go heavy, much heavier than I do any other time of the year. I'll go heavier to dirt hole sets. And I want to even expound on that, not just only dirt holes, but flashy sets, whatever that may be. Just think of this coyote up until now through his life cycle. You know, they're eating grubs, they're eating whatever mom and dad kill and bring back and sometimes regurgitate back. And I know it sounds nasty, but this is how they operate. This is how they live. It's proven facts. And that's kind of what they're living off of once they get weaned from mom. And by this time of the year, most all these pups are going to be weaned. Mom has taken care of that. She is kind of getting herself back in shape. And Mom is typically kind of taking on more and more of the hunter role, where Dad actually took care of that role throughout most of the summer while Mom stayed in the den nursing pups and raising them. So things are kind of changing in the family group now, and they're getting, the pups have been out a little bit. But only by a month or two. Key, especially down south in the summertime, grubs and worms and that sort of thing are a key food source for these coyote pups. I firmly believe, although I can't prove this, that a lot of times that this time of year, these coyote moms will, as they're trying to teach these pups how to hunt, they'll focus around these dead logs and these, why? Because grubs live there, worms live there, insects pupate and molt there and go from larvae stage to pupa stage. And all these are food sources for coyotes. I'll key in on that because that's where I think they've been used to eating for the last little bit. All of a sudden, I'm going to introduce a really, really good commercial lure or bait, something like Clint makes with Predator Control Group, and they get a whiff of Federales that's a smoky base meat, and boy, that's like putting a big old chocolate milkshake in front of someone that's never, ever had it before, and it just, but my locations are closer to, and the features that I'm choosing are closer to, I'm looking for these rotted logs, especially if I can kick that rotted log and see a grub or a worm or something there, I'm about going to set that if it's anywhere close to being on a travel way type location. I still think of the same intersections and the same travel ways as I do for grown coyotes, but I get a lot flashier. I'll make a dirt hole set. I make a lot more of them. If you look at my trapping right now, if you didn't know, I was the trapper on the property, and I trapped this property today, and you snapshot that, and I trapped that same property in February, and you snapshot that, then you would swear it was two totally different guys, because I seldom use any dirt holes in late January, February, and I'm using probably 70 to 80% dirt holes this time of the year. They're flashy. These pups smell the fresh dirt. Remember what we were talking about the grubbing and the worms, and that's a major part of their diet this time of the throughout the summer. What do they smell every time they eat? Fresh dirt. Where Mom teaches them how to scratch at the base of these rotten stumps or logs. The fresh dirt where there is a real mouse that mother coyote hears squeaking in that hole. She digs him out, kills him, and they all eat him and consume him. That fresh dirt is the underlier there that he is continuing to smell, or she, throughout that young coyote's early life and early lifespan. So the fresh dirt and the fresh dirt smell, I think, is as key as our lure and our bait. Our lure and our bait absolutely sweeten the pot up a little bit. But I do think that the coyotes associate that fresh smell. If you happen to be where I am, there's a lot of cutover around. I had seen this to be factual before, and I've even kind of implemented this, but it never really hit home. I never had a thought process until I saw a friend from over in Alabama, Sean Phillips, actually had something that he posted, I think, at one of the shows this past weekend, where he was showing walkthroughs. It almost looked like a bobcat set, not blocked down. Now, don't get me wrong. Even the young coyotes, you don't want to bobcat trap them. You do not want to hang flags, and you don't want to be that flashy. But basically, he was in an area that's real similar to mine. A lot of cut over, a lot of dead tops or limbs where the timber harvest has happened, a lot of old logs there. And it'll be a lot of places that these coyotes, these young ones especially, were walking through some really tight areas that were natural. I would, if you're a beginner, I would not advise you to find something natural that the coyotes are going to be at that kind of tightens them down, and you basically block them down. That type of scenario is a great blind set opportunity. But just kind of think two parallel logs, or maybe a treetop that was not used by the you know, by the timber harvest, but a lot of times they'll leave those there, and two tops are close together, you know, with a lot of feed opportunities, food source opportunities for the coyotes in between there. A lot of times you can block coyotes down a lot easier, and they're less phobic right now than you can necessarily later on in the year. So, the flashy stuff, the great big dirt holes, we kind of touched on that with the dirt smell. I make them big. I make them where you can see them from 30, 40 yards away. I want to be real careful and not equate this so much to bobcat trapping, but I do think that you can call these coyotes, especially this time of the year when they're so inquisitive, just kind of like you do with a flag. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not at all saying hang a flag for a coyote, not even this time of the year, not at all. But if you have a great big flashy dirt hole with a huge dirt pattern, 3, 4, 5 feet across, you know, like something's in there, badger hole type stuff, you know, dirt scattered everywhere, no real specific pattern. This is just where there was a kill, or there was another coyote or a bobcat or another predator killed an animal or a squirrel or a rabbit or whatever. Make this, just simulate this to be flashy. I think coyotes will see that from, especially these inquisitive pups, from a long ways away, 20, 30 yards away sometimes, and come investigate that and check it out. If you're sitting there with your equipment and you're ready, you got a lot better opportunity to catch that coyote, because he's going to be there. Many, many times, these coyotes are still in their family unit groups, or if you're relatively close to the den, and a lot of times these pups will be still in their brothers and sisters. Maybe mom and dad are still right at the den. They're not going to be too terribly far, but I do think that this time of the year, these pups are starting to wander. So let's say we had a litter of four pups, and it may be the two males or our brother, sister, and they're kind of there together. So more often than any other time of the year, I'm setting multiple traps at a location. I'm shooting for doubles and triples. This is the time of the year that they are much easier done, because you've got more feet on the ground. You know, if these pups are in family units, family groups there, what I believe happens a lot of times, and this has been verified some through various people, and some of the work I've done and some other people have done. Clint did a whole video series called Teachers of the Night. He's still available in DVD form, where they basically ran game cameras at trap locations. Extremely valuable information. But you'll see on a lot of this type footage and game camera type footage, and everybody's got game cameras now, set them up on your own trap line. You see, learn from the animals. Let the animals teach you. That is a lesson that I preach over and over and over again when I do personal instruction and different things. Learn from the animals. Learn to read the sign and learn, you kind of almost cheat that a little bit when you watch the animals on this game camera video that's out there. But what happens a lot of times when one animal will get caught, one coyote will get caught, you'll see the other coyote doesn't tuck tail and run as hard as he can for 3 miles in the opposite direction. They may jump back just a foot or two, but they're wondering, hey, you know, big brother, hey, brother or sister, what are you doing there? How come you're not coming on? It's still playtime. We're bouncing. Let's go. So he comes back up there and checks it out. If you've got one trap set and you got a coyote standing that one trap, but you've got two other siblings right there, you have zero chance to catch him. The rest of the year, it gets more and more and more difficult. Right now, these coyote pups are still traveling a lot together, a lot side by side. It is not uncommon to see, just watch your social media, guys. See how many doubles and triples you see guys post right now or in the coming, 30 to 40 days versus the rest of the year. You'll see more doubles and triples, especially on young coyotes right now, than you will at any other time of the year. So as I set these up, I'm setting multiple, if it's a good location, I'm setting multiple traps on every single one of those. Sometimes I'll see an old trap and an old track, and this is kind of it's a proving thing to me. I want to see if coyotes are really coming through here. If this is a happenstance, I may set one or two there. But if I find a good location that the animals are telling me they're here, this is their hunting ground, for whatever reason, I've got intel that tells me coyotes are there. I'll be 100% honest with you. What I'm doing right now, I'm sitting on right within a few hundred yards of my house. I'm listening to these coyotes howl at night. I occasionally see them in the daytime. I see them on game cameras. I know roughly really close to where the den is. I'm staying on the outside, the perimeter edge of that. And so I know where there's a couple of family groups of coyotes at, and I'm hitting the perimeter of that. And then from there, I'm finding where, you know, where these coyotes are feeding a lot. And from that point, I'm setting multiple traps. So if I know that you know, that family group of coyotes coming through there, I'm going to try to catch as many of them as I can. It's not uncommon at all. I know this sounds extreme, but I'm not afraid one single ounce to set four or five traps at a location if I'm seeing the sign and I think that this is a family group's a regularly visit, regular stop here. And I'll set those in an array around that location. And many, many times, this is where my doubles and my multiple catch sequences come from, is when you do that. Really, really hard to catch a double with one trap. There's other times of the year that I go back and when I really get stretched out and I've got 400 or 500 traps in the ground throughout, you know, different lines and different locations, then I'll spread that out and I'll start conserving equipment a little bit more. Right now, I'm not even really started enough to say I'm started. I've got 7 sets out and it would be a lot more today. I actually had time today. I could have set, but it's been raining all day long. So that's another reason I don't have any more than that out. But at any rate, I'll go ahead and touch on this. I'm also in the live market game. So maybe this is, I should have explained this a few minutes ago. So maybe that we're right on the edge of this first starting to prime up. It's still probably green at this point in time. A little too green to be fur trapping, but I do sell in the live market. So that's, you know, that product is still just as good today as it is 3 months from now, you know, with, you know, when the really cold weather hits. So that's something that I actually meant to say. So let me circle back around and catch that one up as well. I'm going to wet my whistle here again. And we will segue on. I'm just trying to think. I had several ideas kind of floating around in my head that I wanted to talk about the pups, and I think we've got most of those covered. And I don't really want to necessarily confuse you with what I may do different for adult coyotes later on in the year, or even adult coyotes right now. But don't be afraid to block the coyotes a little bit tighter right now when you're shooting at pups. Don't be afraid to set multiple traps. Don't be afraid to make this really flashy. Later on, I'll become a huge blind set guy and, use a lot of total, you know, total blind sets complete with, you know, no bait, no lure, no anything. Right now, pretty much everything I have is a scented set. Just a lot more visual, a lot more, more out in their face kind of than I will be later on. So don't be afraid to have a couple of strategies. Build that confidence level up. Right now is a great, great time to do that. So I'm going to kind of segue away, and we may talk about something that's completely different here a little bit. And I got back in Sunday, I believe, from Southeast NTA. They had it at Crossville, Tennessee this year. For the last several years, it's kind of been alternating there. I understand over the next coming years, we may even have a new location. I think it's coming up this spring over in Arkansas. So there'll be a new venue for it there, or at least I don't think we've had it right here before. So be looking for that show to come. But I had a great, great time in Crossville, and I kind of wanted to, I know this show is probably going to be a few minutes shorter, but I kind of wanted to recap that a little bit and talk about a couple of things that were maybe humorous and different things that happened at that Crossville show, because it really, really was a fun one. I enjoy, this is one of the favorite parts that I have about having a business inside trapping and in the trapping industry. For those of you that may not know, I actually own and run, along with my sons, expand a pan. We make the big traps, big trap pans for traps, and we feel like and we believe that we really increase your odds by using those products. So we have a booth, and we'll put that booth in the camper, and we'll drive all over the United States of America going to shows. And I always, it's one of the things I love more than anything else is talking to you guys. When we have people walk up to the booth and say, "Hey, I appreciate you when you fill in for Clint," that's what fuels the fire. That's what really, really makes it worthwhile. And then they may have a question about something that's giving them issues or giving them fits. And all of us that contribute to Trapper Radio in whatever way are so, so good. That's where I really think this is the right team. I mean, a lot of times I'll set my booth up side by side with Clint or side by side with Jeff Dunlap or with any of our many, many sponsors, the F&T Boys or Alan from Hilltop or all the rest of our suppliers. And you hear people, you know, there may be a booth over, but you hear these customers, these trappers come up and say, "Hey, thank you so much for sponsoring Trapper Radio. Thank you so much for what you do, taking your time to record the shows. We learn so much. And by the way, I'm having issues with this." And I've never heard any of the Trapper Radio guys, Tim Roper was actually at this Southeast show. He spent most of his time helping trappers. That's what he did. He's a meat trapper. Meat Trapper Radio is on the same channel. And he's got a podcast of his own. Airs Monday nights and new episodes. So that's what's so cool is everybody here, helps each other. But the I guess what I'm trying to say is the interaction with the trappers themselves, that's what the fun part is. Driving hundreds and hundreds of miles for scores and scores of hours one way getting to a show, not so much. I don't enjoy that as much. But when I'm finally there for those 2 and sometimes 3 days at the shows, that's what it's about. This particular show, it was really, really a special one. I'm not sure exactly what it was. It was just the people that were there, the chemistry that was involved. It went smoothly. It flowed really, really well. I thought the NTA did an outstanding job of putting this on. It was really no hiccups that I saw on there. I will tell you one funny story that happened. I had a call back probably in July from the convention coordinator for NTA, and she asked me, she says, "Hey, we're trying to evaluate something, and I was wondering if I could use you as a guinea pig." She said, "We have been for years printing, for the people that do the demos, the demonstrations at the shows, we print little bios on them. We'll tell them who they are, what their business is, what their background is in trapping and whatever." She says, "You're doing a demo at Southeast, and on your bio, could I put something in there just to assess whether people are reading these or not?" And I said, "Well, sure, that'd be great. And I see where you're coming from, and that's really a good way to tell if people are reading these. We'll know it somehow or another. And if they're not, maybe we save that extra expense if nobody's really reading them and just showing up to the demos to see who's there." So that's what they did. And they put my biographical information on there and where I'm from and who I am and whatever involvements I have. And at the end of that, they said, "And in Chip's free time, he enjoys trapping pink elephants." So nobody really commented on that. So I'm not sure how many people are actually reading those demos, except for we did have, and I give a huge shout out to some brand new friends I have, Beth and Ed from North Carolina. They came by the booth and they said, "Well, hey, we got something special for you." I said, "Really?" And they handed me this thing is probably 3 inches tall by probably 4 inches long, and it was a plastic pink elephant. So I intended on using that in my demo at the end because everybody at the show had that in print that I'd like to trap pink elephants. But so at any rate, it was really, really funny, and so I appreciate the thoughtfulness of those guys to do that. And so those are just, some of the little small things. On Friday night of this convention, we had a Trapper's Feed put on by, I think it was a joint effort between Alabama and Tennessee associations. Some of the best food, and I'm not talking about process type stuff. I mean, we had rabbit, we had so many home cooked dishes, casseroles, to you name it. It was I actually had to call an auction a little later that night. That was part of the fundraiser that we did. So when I do those, I like not to have my belly full until after I get through talking fast. And so I kind of stand there talking to a couple of friends of mine, and every plate that we watched come through the end of that line was just about to break in half. You talk about some great food. All the demos, I actually had a chance to sit through a few of those and did a demo myself, and those went really, really well. I like the shows. They're right before trapping season. Seems like folks are really, really motivated. Nothing at all wrong with the shows in the summertime, but trapping season is still a month or two off at that time of the year. So the ones I think that I like the best are the ones right before. Folks are motivated, they're really ready to go. You know, they're asking real pointed questions, as, hey, I'm about to do this. So this is, I'm setting next week, I'm setting 3 weeks from now. You know, season happens in less than a month. This is my question. This is what I'm wondering about. So that's, I really like these fall shows a lot. They seem to flow really well, and the trappers that are there seem to participate a lot and really, really enjoy them. So if you're not a show goer, and there is one, you know, they're about to all wrapped up for this fall, but they'll start again next spring and all through next summer and through next fall. And kind of do yourself a favor and look those up and find you one and go to them and learn, because that's what this thing is about. Well, guys and gals, this is a shorter kind of show. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up. I apologize for it being a few minutes less than we typically do, but I just kind of had that whole coyote pup thing on my mind. I wanted to recap Southeast just a little bit and tell you what was happening there. And so I think we've done that. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap up. Clint, I hope you don't throw your back out moving, brother. I know he's looking forward to getting into his new place. It's absolutely gorgeous where they've been. I've been there myself earlier this summer, and I'm excited for Clint and glad to fill in. Guys, thank you so much for your attentiveness. You guys and girls are the absolute salt of earth. You're the best people in the world, the best, most clear, concise thinkers. I just am so privileged to be able to have the opportunity to hang out with you from time to time and cover for Clint on these shows. If I can ever help you again, easy to find. You can log on to my website. It's www.expandapantraps.com. All of my contact information is on there. My personal cell phone number is on there. If we can help you at all at any time, as well as anybody else that's associated with Trapper Radio, you let us know. And thank you so much. I've enjoyed hanging out with you. And Clint should be back next week. And until then, this will be Chip signing out for Trapping Radio.
A 22 bullet in my thigh one night, trying to break up a barroom fight. Went home, dug it out with my old case knife. I broke down in a blizzard on the Great Divide. Walked 20 miles till I caught a ride. The trooper said, boy, it's a wonder you're still alive. I blowed hard luck. I've been bruised and buffed. I've been hitting the ground and turning around and getting back up. Now they're laying them off down at Kankakee, and it pours on the windows up and down the streets. And they're saying that it's gonna get darker before the dawn. But you can bet your ass I'll keep the lights on, keep my babies fed and throw my dog a bone. Cause I'ma bring it on, get her done, don't run SOB. Times are tough, but they ain't got nothing on. Dog, I called Jake, got the won't back dance scars on his face. He tussled with the bear, came in second place. He comes back home every now and then with some brand new scars and a happy grin. You know I'm proud to call old Jake my friend, 'cause he's known hard luck. He's been bruised and bugged. He's been hitting the ground and turning around and getting back up. And I'm laying him off down at Kankakee, and his boards on the windows up and down the streets. And they're saying that it's gonna get darker before the dawn, but you can bet your ass I'll keep the lights on, keep my babies fed and throw my dog a bone. But I'ma bring it on, get her done, don't run SOB. Times are tough, but they ain't got nothing on me. Yeah, times are tough, but they ain't got nothing on me.